Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Welcome to the live Saturday edition of Free Talk Live. The phones for you, if you want to join the show, are open. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian and the captain here in the studio tonight.
I'm sorry, did you say freezing talk live?
Nah, we're toasty warm.
Below freezing talk live? No, that was last night.
It is a little chilly out there in New Hampshire in the last couple days, but it's only going to last a couple days.
I just want to say that to all of the supposedly freedom-minded people who think that something like gathering everybody in, you know, in the state of New Hampshire, for example, Free State Project types, that type of thing, is a good idea, but don't want to participate because it's too cold. I'm glad you're not here. Because if you don't have the balls to be here when it's, you know, negative 15 degrees out, and you don't have the ingenuity to figure out how to deal with winter, freedom is certainly not the first priority for you.
No doubt about it. We don't need the sunshine patriots. Those people can go somewhere else and be ineffective. We're making a difference up here. That's not what I wanted to talk about, Captain.
I know, I just wanted to say.
But it is important. We do love the New Hampshire Freedom Migration. If you're not here yet, you ought to be planning to get here, because there's no better place to be if you love liberty. If you are a libertarian, if you're a voluntarist, if you're a liberty-loving anarchist, you got to be making a plan to move to New Hampshire. Otherwise, you're planning to fail. So, big news. And coming up, by the way, speaking of New Hampshire, the Democratic National Committee has made their decision to kick New Hampshire down from its first-in-the-nation primary status. We'll talk about that, what it means, why it's important, here in a little bit. This is pretty big news from the world of politics. But in the world of the court system, in the world of prohibitions, there has long been a prohibition against people who might want to have some drugs, in the case specifically cannabis, and also protect themselves and their family by, say, owning a gun.
Right. And I know this was big in Washington State when, you know, it was legalized, marijuana, that is.
Right.
That if you were a medicinal patient, that you were not able to own firearms legally. Something along those lines.
Yeah, that's right. There's even language like that on the medicinal paperwork here in New Hampshire as well. It's like, hey, you understand you're basically giving up your right to own guns. Right. Okay, sign here. And for people that have some sort of crazy terminal illness, they're willing to do it because, well, you know, cannabis is the only way to take away the pain or whatever they're, you know, solve whatever the issue is. But as it turns out, a court in Oklahoma has made a pretty important ruling on this at the federal level. What happened?
This was, it's actually from Reuters, or Reuters, if you want to mispronounce it. The headline reads, "Ban on marijuana users owning guns is unconstitutional, a U.S. judge rules." A federal law prohibiting marijuana users from possessing firearms is unconstitutional, a federal judge has concluded, citing last year's U.S. Supreme Court ruling that significantly expanded gun rights. U.S. District Judge Patrick Weirich, an appointee of former Republican Donald Trump in Oklahoma City on Friday, dismissed an indictment against a man charged in August with violating that ban, saying that it infringed on his right to bear arms under the U.S. Constitution's Second Amendment.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's powerful and that's big.
I'm really glad to hear that.
Huge precedent.
How many decades did this take?
Too many.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I've been hearing about this prohibition for at least two decades, maybe longer. I don't know when it came about.
Weirich said that while the government can protect the public from dangerous people possessing guns, it could not argue Jared Harrison's mere status as a user of marijuana justifies stripping him of his fundamental right to possess a firearm.
Thank goodness. I mean, basically the prohibitionist argument here is cannabis makes you so crazy. You can't possibly handle a gun.
Yeah, if you got to decide whether to pick up your bag of Doritos or your firearm.
And look, I'm not advocating that somebody go blaze a huge blunt and then start, you know, go to the firing range. I don't think that is probably the best thing to do. I don't think that's necessarily the most sensible approach to, you know, practicing with your gun. That said, I don't think that the possession of cannabis and the possession of a gun at the same time, meaning that, you know, there's a bag of weed in your backpack and there's a gun on your hip,
right?
I don't think that should be a crime. I don't think that is in any way putting anyone in danger at all.
It would be, I don't want to say the same, but I would liken the prohibition of owning a gun if you use marijuana something akin to prohibiting you owning or using a firearm if you have a beer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look.
How ridiculous is that, right? Or insert any other substance here. If you have aspirin in your medicine cabinet, you cannot own a gun. It's so dumb. It is so ridiculous for this to even exist.
I bet you, if you did a study where you put people on a firing range with, you know, somebody to watch over them, right, just to make sure that they don't point the gun in the wrong direction or something accidentally, and you gave them a bottle of whiskey, and you gave them a big fat blunt, separately, not together,
right?
So you got your control group.
Blunt man over here and whiskey man over here.
You got the whiskey guys, you got the blunt guys, and then you go ahead and just have the guys drink some amount of whiskey, a couple shots or three shots or whatever. More, you know, keep doing them,
right?
Take one shot. All right, now you go and fire a clip off, you know, fire a magazine off. Take another shot. Okay, now you go and fire another one. And then see how it goes.
Yeah.
You know, see how their accuracy improves or not over time.
It's like those old videos they used to do on the news about drunk driving where they'd, like, have a test guy and they'd give him one shot and make him drive this little obstacle course. And then another shot and then another shot. And they keep making him drive until he was, you know, knocking cones over.
Well, you know, they did that when I think it was Washington. You mentioned Washington State. When Washington State and Oregon became the first legal states as far as recreational use of cannabis. They actually did that test. It was a TV station. They went down to the local track, and they had, you know, again, the two groups. They had the guys with the weed and the guys with the alcohol. And I believe it was actually the same group on different days.
Yeah.
So they had, you know, they tested them with weed, they tested them with alcohol, and they found that the weed drivers drove better than the alcohol drivers.
Oh, gee, go figure.
Yeah, and I bet you I'd be willing to put money on it that the weed-smoking gun-shooting crew would be more accurate than the drinking guys.
And I would argue that they'd be more careful.
I think they would, though. It's not impossible to make a mistake, right? It's not impossible to make a mistake while sober.
Humans are humans. They're going to make mistakes. Yeah.
And that would be, to me, the only concern with using something like cannabis at a gun range is you might forget something. There's that possibility. You might overlook something. And so that's why I say I wouldn't recommend it. But
I can't name anybody. I've known many a stoner. I've smoked much marijuana in my life. And I can't name anybody who has gotten behind the wheel of a car while stoned on marijuana and become a danger to anybody, really. If anything, they're more careful, they drive slower, they're more paranoid about getting pulled over.
Okay, but is that why? Is it because they're paranoid about getting pulled over? Or if it were legal, let's say it were legal to possess and you know, even be high while driving, would they then be as careful?
I mean, I would have to say yeah, only because, like, I've seen the same set of circumstances, but around other stuff. Hundreds of thousands of dollars of musical equipment in a, you know, multi-million dollar recording studio, for example. You know, dudes smoke a blunt before they, you know, they're going to lay down their tracks for their recording session or whatever, and they're in a studio that they've only paid some amount of rent for, you know, the week or the day or whatever it is to record their song, and they are super careful. They're extra careful around other people's stuff.
Yeah.
Because they themselves are like, oh, I've spent, you know, thousands of dollars on my gear, and so, you know, they're even more careful, whereas you take the same guys in the same environment and you give them, you know, a bottle of Jameson, you know, all of a sudden they're falling over equipment, they're tripping over cords,
they're
spilling on the keyboard, you know, on the expensive gear in the studio, that kind of a thing.
That's
so
terrible.
Like that kind of event, the events that happen with alcohol don't happen with just weed in the same environment. I've been there. I've seen it. I was, you know, I did my internship at a couple of different recording studios in Minneapolis, and so I was in on some sessions where, you know, the unwritten rule was what happens in the studio stays in the studio, right? And that's kind of the rule that you're under because these artists pay bucks for these environments, and so. You know, I got to see some stuff. It was pretty cool. I had a great time. I met some super cool people, but I also saw extreme intoxication during these sessions, both alcohol, weed, and some other stuff as well. And, you know, I can say just from, you know, call it anecdotal experience or whatever you want, but that's my observation.
Yeah, so what else do we need to know here? This is just a district court judge, right? So this is only going to affect that particular district, right? That's only going to affect that circuit or whatever they call it, right?
Well, the article goes on to say, he said using marijuana was not in and of itself violent, forceful, or a threatening act, and noted that Oklahoma is one of a number of states where the drug still legal under federal law, or still illegal under federal law, can be legally bought for medicinal uses.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I'm surprised Oklahoma has medicinal. I've always heard they're a very conservative crackdown kind of state.
I'm not really. I think most states have medicinal.
It is true. Yeah, I think last I heard it was like 36, and that was a couple of years ago. So maybe 38 or more now. I don't know.
Laura Deskin, a public defender representing Harrison, so this guy went to court with a public defender,
and he won. Wow, good for him.
Said the ruling was a step in the right direction for a large number of Americans who deserve the right to bear arms, protect their homes, just like anyone else. She called marijuana the most commonly used drug illegal at the federal level. Of course, duh.
It's still a Schedule I, quote-unquote, narcotic. After all these years, after all the talk, after all the political posturing by the Democrats and the Republicans in Washington, D.C., that still hasn't changed. Even after dozens of states have decriminalized and or legalized the substance for either medical or recreational use, even after all the doctors, the parade of doctors and patients have come out and shown beyond the shadow of a doubt that this is a medicine, that it helps people.
Oh, something the natives knew already, and we didn't really even have to put any thought into. It's taken 200 years.
Yeah, it's still Schedule I, which according to the federal government means that it has no recognized medical uses.
That's horseshit.
And it is still just sitting there. How many more decades is it going to take?
Is this the one?
Or is it going to happen before 2030 at the federal level?
Well, you know how slow government works.
Yeah, it's
awful. And you also know that it's very, very rare that any law comes off the books.
Right.
At any level. So there is no set process for removing laws from the books. All you can do is make more laws to negate existing laws.
Well, I mean, they do have to pass a law to strike a law. Yeah, that's true.
The article continues, the decision marked the latest instance of a court declaring a gun regulation unconstitutional after the U.S. Supreme Court's 6-3 conservative majority in June ruled that the Second Amendment protects a person's right to carry a handgun in public for self-defense. That ruling, New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin, announced a new test for assessing firearms laws, saying restrictions must be, quote, consistent with this nation's historical tradition of firearm regulation, unquote. That's a BS sentence. On Thursday, the New Orleans-based Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals cited that decision in declaring unconstitutional a federal law barring people under domestic violence restraining orders from owning firearms. So,
this is great news. Now, does it say anything about... I presume the Justice Department is the other side of this.
It says the U.S. Department of Justice did not respond to a request for comment, but is likely to appeal.
That was going to be my question, is are they going to appeal it? And I hope they do, because if they appeal, it means it goes up to the next level, which would be the appeals court of whatever circuit that particular Oklahoma court is in, and that will be an important ruling in that case. So kudos. Now, apparently, people at the very least in Oklahoma who use cannabis can defend themselves.
Well, and
that's the way I understood that.
And hopefully this, you know, this is precedent. This sets precedent, and this can free people everywhere to own firearms.
Well, unfortunately, as I understand it, the system doesn't work quite that way.
I know, but hopefully this is a stepping stone.
Yeah, it can be looked at by other courts.
It would sure be nice for there to be more freedom.
Yeah.
I think one of the... one of the things I find most pathetic about society today is the lack of desire for freedom.
Yeah, and it's true.
There's a word I use, eleutheromania, and it just means the desire for freedom, or the insatiable desire for freedom, something along those lines. You can look it up. And that seems to be sorely lacking in the United States today.
Most people don't have it yet.
Most people would rather be comfortable than free. So this whole, like, land of the free thing, is no, it's land of the comfortable.
That's right.
Like, they don't want freedom. Freedom scares people.
What is it they say? Good times make weak men, I think.
Yeah.
And we're in that phase for sure.
Well, at least the ones who hate winter aren't coming here.
That's true. You can join the show. The number is 603-283-6160. Whether you want to comment on guns and weed, which is... I'm really glad to hear this news. I did not see this coming. Pleasantly surprised.
This is so fresh out of the presses. Like, this was good posted find. By Reuters 2 hours ago, according to the article.
Definitely a good find. So we started out the show by talking about New Hampshire as this destination for freedom-loving people.
Yes.
And it is. And there's no larger gathering of liberty-oriented minds and activists than there is here in New Hampshire. There's an amazing community here that just keeps getting bigger over the years, and it keeps getting more effective as well. And now there's a major decision that's been made by the Democratic National Committee that is going to, I think, cripple the Democratic Party to some extent here in New Hampshire.
So it's a decision made by them that's going to cripple them?
Yes.
Huh.
And we did talk about this as a potential something that could be happening a few weeks ago or a few months ago on Free Talk Live. We actually had Keith Ammon, who's a state representative. He's a libertarian activist who moved here as part of the Free State Project. He ran as a Republican to get elected here in New Hampshire. He's actually a multi-term rep. He's a big crypto guy. He puts in a lot of bills to try to...
Yeah, I've heard the name.
Yeah, he's trying to like create a kind of a crypto regulatory structure that is, even though we don't like regulations or anything, there's some companies that just, they got to have them in order to feel comfortable moving there. So the idea is to attract more crypto companies here to New Hampshire and have certain protections in place for them. He's a great, great guy. And he was paying close attention to this. We actually had him on the show to kind of give us a rundown of exactly what's going on, because it's a little confusing of what they're doing in the Democratic Party. So,
is it they're disbanding the party entirely?
No, right. But they're basically... They're basically taking a club to their own knee in the state of New Hampshire. They're crippling themselves in the state of New Hampshire. It's being done by the national party. So the local party in New Hampshire isn't doing this. They've been arguing against it.
Okay.
But the national party is doing it to them. And the deal is now done. So when we last talked about this, it was a subcommittee of the Democratic National Committee had made the decision to move forward with this. But it can't happen without the full Democratic National Committee voting to do this thing.
Worked its way up the ladder.
It's
in
to
the
top level, and the top level has decided... This is happening.
What is it?
They voted today to dramatically alter the top of its presidential nominating calendar for the 2024 election cycle, and presumably beyond, but definitely for this next presidential election, bumping Iowa and New Hampshire from their longtime leadoff positions, which means that New Hampshire for a very long time has been the quote-unquote first-in-the-nation primary. Meaning that New Hampshire, of all of the states, now some states have the caucus, so Iowa has the caucus.
Mm-hmm.
So Iowa's caucus actually happens before New Hampshire's primary, but then New Hampshire is the first primary. And so that means that there's a lot of attention given to New Hampshire, sort of a disproportionate amount of attention given how small the state is.
Yeah, that's interesting because before I moved, when I mentioned where I was moving to some folks who are less liberty-oriented than I, they mentioned that. They're like, oh, so you're going to meet the president whenever the candidates come through and that kind of thing? Because I know that they all come here, and it's sort of early on in the campaign trail and that kind of thing. So this is all a part of that, right?
Correct. In New Hampshire, for better or for worse, I consider it to be worse. I'm glad these people are going to be leaving from New Hampshire. We don't need them. But for better or for worse, there's like the mentality here is like, we're proud. We're proud of our first in the nation primary. They like it when the politicians come here and they glad hand and they go to the local diner.
The press, right?
Yeah. It gets them in the press. And And it does allow people to actually reach these individuals. Not that it matters. Not that these politicians give a damn what you think about them. It's all just playing pretend. The politician shows up at some local town hall, which these are small venues, right? So, like, if you want to meet Jeb Bush or whoever it is that's running for office, there's a good chance you'll be able to say something to him or shake his hand or something like that.
Right.
And there's just some people that get all the flutter about politicians.
For the small town people who, you know, rarely get outside of the small town that they grew up and or live in, you know, for them, it's their only chance for a brush with greatness.
Oh, God.
You know, oh my gosh, you know, it's like...
they are not great people.
I mean, I've been in small towns, you know, growing up, and I remember, like, the old ladies flipping out because so-and-so got their picture in the newspaper, right? It's that kind
stuff.
Of, that brush with fame reaction. This is what I hate about politicians. Everybody treats them like they're Hollywood film stars.
They're the worst.
Right? I almost don't mind Hollywood film stars being treated like Hollywood film stars.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
If they're talented, at least they provide something of entertainment.
Yeah. But these politicians, they don't do any of that, but they get the same treatment, and I don't know why.
It's disgusting.
I really hate it. It's a flaw of humanity that needs to go away. Everybody needs to open their eyes and realize what a farce this is.
Yeah, it is one of the... I mean, there's not a lot I dislike about New Hampshire. I really love being here and the Liberty Movement here. But it is an eye roll. When you go into some local diner and they've got like a whole wall covered of photographs of politicians that have come there, and it's just like, oh, this is
That's
not
their claim to fame.
You don't need to be proud of the fact that scum of the earth have come and eaten at your diner. Let's go to the phones. We'll continue with what the DNC is doing. You're on Free Talk Live. Caller, what is your name?
Hi, my name is Greg.
Greg, you're on the air.
Yeah, good. I just had one thought about marijuana and the gun thing. The strong marijuana, I'm not a smoker. I think I tried it about 50 years ago. But anyway, they say the stronger the marijuana, it's able to induce paranoia. And I would be afraid somebody think, oh, my God, this guy is a threat to me. But that's just a thought. I'd like to know what you guys think. The second time I listen to you guys are good. Keep it up.
Well, welcome. I would say to this, there's a wide range of reactions to the use of cannabis. Yeah. Some people just laugh at things more often. Some people mellow out and they just want to relax. And there probably are some people who get paranoid. But one reason they might be getting paranoid is because there might actually be men with guns out there that are looking to throw them in a cage. So I think that's one reason why paranoia is associated with cannabis. I don't know if cannabis would have that effect on people if they knew they couldn't be thrown in a cage for the use of cannabis. I don't think it would be as paranoia-inducing.
Yeah. I mean, and you have to look at sort of the level of risk of that. What you're talking about is probably a fringe edge case of somebody who's having, you know, a more serious reaction to some strain of marijuana, which could easily be balanced out with, you know, the appropriate consultation, perhaps a different strain, something along those lines for that person if they want to continue to use marijuana. But it is in no way an excuse to take away somebody's right to defend themselves.
Absolutely.
Oh, no, I'm absolutely Second Amendment, I guarantee it.
Greg, thank you for the call tonight, man. Appreciate hearing from you. There's more coming up. You can join us on the air on Free Talk Live. The number is 603-283-6160.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA News update. A Chinese surveillance balloon has been shot down by the U.S. military over the Atlantic Ocean just off the coast of South Carolina.
Order the Pentagon to shoot it down on Wednesday as soon as possible. They decided without doing damage to anyone on on the ground. They decided that the best time to do that was as it got over water outside within 12-mile limit.
President Joe Biden on today's events, the recovery efforts are underway. Millions living in the Northeast coping with dangerously cold wind chills. Forecasters say a polar vortex sitting directly over Maine, creating wind chills of 30 below zero in some parts of that region. During a Democratic Party gathering in Philadelphia today, DNC delegates approved moving South Carolina into the top spot for early voting. They'll be followed by Nevada and New Hampshire. For the first time, Georgia and Michigan also joining the primary window. John Schaefer, USA News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, the live Saturday show. The phones are open here.
You invite us.
Yes, we will, without the profanity, though. The number here is 603-283-6160.
At least until later.
That's right. Later on, we do have Beard Talk Live, which will be coming up at 10:30 Eastern Time. It happens every Saturday night. What is it, 20-something weeks now? 20, you guys getting close to 26? You got
to
be, right?
I have to look at it. No, I think we might be at 24.
That's close to 26. I mean, that's getting there. It's almost half a year.
Yeah, I don't want to start celebrating that until we like hit like a year. You know?
Okay, all right, fair enough.
If we've been around a year, I feel like that's a milestone. Anything
true
before, like, there's so many, like, I get so many pings on the social media about, hey, I'm starting a podcast. Like, everybody's got a podcast
now
and that kind of thing. So, like, yeah, we have a leg up because we're an extension of Free Talk Live, so to speak. We're here in the studio. You know, that kind of a thing. So, like, I feel like the bar is a bit higher for Beard Talk Live than it would be. But so many of these podcasts that people on my social media, they start, they do a couple episodes, and then it disappears. It's gone. Like, well,
yeah, that's right.
Well, you know, and one of the first things of doing any kind of a cast, podcast, video, cast, whatever it is like, you got to stick with it.
Agreed.
You're not going to build it like everybody thinks. Oh, I start a podcast. They think, oh, you're automatically going to get a bunch of followers, a bunch of audience, and all that kind of stuff.
No, it takes a long time.
Yeah, you got to work at it. It takes a long time. You have to put effort into it.
Unless you already are a celebrity, in which case you have a built-in fan following right, and then instant success. But that's why I always have the rule as far as deciding who can get on LRN.FM, which is just a little internet network that I've been programming for more than a decade. I won't look at your show unless you've been around 6 months with regular publishing.
Right.
Just isn't worth my time because of what you're saying. So many shows start and then they're done.
Right.
And it's like a little hobby for a little while, and it doesn't make any money, and so it's like they're done.
Now, I'm not trying to discourage anybody. If you are thinking about starting a podcast of your own,
I'm just telling you how to do it right.
Or even like an internet radio station or something like that, please go ahead and try. If that is your desire to do so, please go ahead and do so.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Particularly if you're freedom-minded. Like, yes, we do freedom-oriented media all the time, but I'm of the opinion that we need more, a lot more, a whole lot more. So if, particularly if you're freedom-minded and your show is going to be leaning towards the philosophies of freedom, by all means, get started. Just don't, like, give up after, you know, you don't get a bunch of followers in the first 2 to 5 episodes. Like, that's not how it works. You have to put effort into promotion. You have to continuously advertise what you're doing, why you're doing it, why you're different than other programs. What is your niche? What makes you unique?
So if you appreciate what we do here on Free Talk Live, you can join our AMPS program at amps.freetalklive.com. It stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. And it's all $5 a month if you want to help us get the word out about the ideas of liberty and peace and freedom and cryptocurrency, the things we talk about regularly here on Free Talk Live. You can do that over at amps.freetalklive.com. That gets you connected with our Patreon. That is one way that you can support our show. There's now another way, which is through Odyssey. We've enabled the Odyssey subscription service, and now you can... So some people don't like Patreon, right?
They're not accepting crypto, though, are they?
No, you can't do it with crypto. You have to do it with dollars.
Even with the Odyssey, whatever their token was?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, if you have the Odyssey token and you want to, the library token and you want to donate it, you can. I just can't I can't do anything with it. I can't touch.
No, I meant Odyssey in general. You know, if some guy goes and grabs an Odyssey account, can he set up a Patreon-like thing and accept crypto? I can go.
Not through a monthly subscription.
I was under the impression that something that Odyssey was working towards was allowing you to be able to post videos and other content, digital content, but also with sort of the that type of a Patreon front. But crypto would be an acceptable currency for your monthly subscription to that.
No, unfortunately, no. That is not the case, and I don't believe they're working on that.
Okay.
They have at Odyssey and Library. There's always been the ability to put on a fee in order to see a video, which is based in library credits.
Right.
So that's one way that you can sort of collect library credits, and then you can always donate library credits to your favorite providers, your favorite content creators. So that's there too. There's just no mechanism to do an automatic monthly donation. I don't know. Maybe that's something they could do.
This seems like it would be such a great thing for cryptocurrency if somebody could invent it.
Ever since the SEC has targeted library for destruction, they sort of Odyssey has kind of gone off in the okay, we'll do dollars direction.
Right. No, so, I get it. I'm
can't
just
blame
saying,
them for it.
Outside of the Odyssey sphere.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, I'm just perhaps there's a an entrepreneurial coder listening and like has a way to make this happen. Like I feel like there needs to be a platform like Patreon that does the things that something like Patreon does, but either exclusively accepts crypto or also accepts cryptocurrency in addition to USD.
The problem is, we kind of did this with the Free Talk Live AMP program for a time. For some number of years, we had a crypto option. Not many people took advantage of it, but it was there, and probably never should have had it because it cost a lot of money to implement it. We never even came close to making it back.
Yeah, but you were on the cutting edge back in the day. Yeah.
So we had that, and the way it had to work was you had to prepay because, you know, you can't – the way crypto works generally is you can't just reach into somebody's wallet and pull crypto out. Right. They have to authorize sending. So it's completely different from credit cards. Credit card, you give somebody the number, the expiration, the CVV, and maybe the name on the card, and then they can just – you've authorized them to pull money out of your account. You can't do that with cryptocurrency.
It's one of the evils of credit cards is this automated payment process out of sight, out of mind. Whereas,
it's also convenient. I mean, you say it's evil, but it is nice to have that.
It depends. Right? Like, I'm not a fan of automating things coming out of my account or my card.
I sure am. I don't want to have to deal with paying a bill every single month.
There is one thing that I subscribe to. It's a VPN service that I load an account with some crypto. Mm-hmm. And whenever that, you know, yearly, monthly, whatever it is, comes due,
right,
they take money out of that account that, yeah, I've preloaded.
So that would be a way to do this, right, is what you're talking about, would be you would then be giving your crypto to this company, and they would hold the crypto for you and take from the crypto that, yeah, you give them every single month.
Yeah.
But then you've still given them all your crypto, so, like, what's the point of that?
And I realize this wouldn't have the same impact, but, you know, companies, this is technology that exists, companies, name them, will email you, you know, your utility company, yeah, like, hey, your bill's due, you know, that kind of thing. So it would be easy enough for somebody, you know, in this position to just go, hey, time for you to pay your monthly subscription to this thing. Now,
yeah,
I realize not having it automated,
a ton of people aren't going to respond.
And, but you could literally just email a QR code, be like, hey, the bill's due. You know,
it's a pain in the butt. I don't want to have to deal with that. And a lot of other people don't either. But anyway, that's something they could do if they wanted to, but it's like, what's the demand for it?
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's true. That's true.
So back to the story here. The Democratic National Committee has now voted in a voice vote. So it was overwhelming. It wasn't even worth counting. They have voted to strip New Hampshire from its first-in-the-nation primary status. And what does that actually mean? By the way, welcome, Peakless Mountaineer.
Stripping in New Hampshire, what?
It means that we're finally bringing New Hampshire to exactly what I want, where the two parties, you know, assuming we still have to have a government at all, where the two parties are minarchist and anarchist.
You mean the Democrats are going to leave? Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I think. I think that the reason that there is as much investment by the Democratic Party in New Hampshire as there is right now is solely because of its importance to the primary process.
Yeah.
And as soon as you strip that from New Hampshire, they're going to pull out all of the funding, and with the funding goes a lot of the people who are here for that purpose.
Yes.
And
yeah,
it's one of those, once you see the leadership in that party leaving, then a lot of the Democrats are going to go, you know, Massachusetts is right
looking
there.
Good now.
Here's what I have to say. Bye-bye. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out.
Yeah,
that's it, exactly.
Yeah, that's absolutely, I think, the takeaway from this. But let me give you a little more detail here in case you're not familiar with what has gone on. So, again, this was the full Democratic National Committee that made this decision. It had previously been a subcommittee that was looking at this. The full committee, or the full-on thing has done this. This is a done deal. This is moving forward.
I knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
Once they announced it, I'm like, there's no chance this is stopping.
Well, Biden's backing it. This is Biden's proposal. So you want to go against Biden? No, the Democrats do not want to go against Biden for whatever reason. And so he got what he wanted. Now, in this case, the push by the DNC, according to FoxNews.com, is to upend the primary calendar and give more representation at the top of the schedule to Black and Hispanic voters. And a party that's become increasingly diverse in recent decades has been vigorously fought by the New Hampshire Democrats, which for a century has held the first primary in the race for the White House. Longtime New Hampshire Democratic Party Chair Ray Buckley, on the eve of the vote, called the move by the DNC mind-boggling and a self-inflicted wound that would hurt the chances of Democratic candidates in 2024 in the key northeastern general election battleground state. But they don't care about the other candidates. They only care about Joe Biden and or any other big-name candidates who, are... Basically, what's going to happen here is if candidates run for president in New Hampshire, they will be punished by the Democratic National Committee. And this story from Fox News doesn't really get into how they're planning on punishing them. I don't know if those decisions have yet been made. I don't know if those votes have happened.
What do you mean punish? Like how? Give me a scenario that would end up.
Some people have suggested that they may strip them of their delegates, meaning that When a local election happens for president,
yeah,
so when the primary happens in any given state,
yeah,
the winner of that contest is awarded delegates. And these are people who go to the big Democratic, sure, National Convention in whatever city that happens to be held that year, and then they all vote for who their presidential candidate is going to be. So even though you vote for a guy in the local election for a primary, that isn't necessarily who the delegate will go and vote for.
Right, right.
They probably will, but in theory, the delegate could go ahead and vote for somebody else.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the whole national electors thing. The electors are supposed to vote for what the state, the people of the state
so
vote
it
for,
sounds
but
like,
they don't have to.
So it sounds like whoever wins that contest gathers a posse.
Basically, yeah.
And they go to the convention and they're like, all right, you guys are going to vote for me, right? And they go, yes,
yeah,
we are.
So they're going to basically say, look, you're just not going to have any delegates if you run in New Hampshire.
Okay, they're going to strip the number of delegates.
Yeah, you
or
can be the winner.
You can.
We can't stop you from running. That's a state-level thing, right? So people.
Well, and this state has to have the first primary.
It's by law.
They don't have to count it, though.
The Democrat National Committee does not have to count it.
Exactly.
Correct. So the vote by the DNC's nearly 500 voting members gathered for the party's winter meeting. You want to talk about bureaucracy? A 500 member. Wow. Was the final approval needed? Biden's proposal to move South Carolina to the lead position in the Democrats' primary calendar. Under his plan, South Carolina will hold its primary February 3rd of 2024, with New Hampshire and Nevada holding their primaries 3 days later, followed by Georgia on February 13th, and then Michigan 2 weeks later.
Why South Carolina? That's the dumb way to do it. Now he's just, okay, now New Hampshire has to move it to earlier than that. Like, by law, we have to have the first one.
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen with that. I don't know if South Carolina... I guess this does mean South Carolina is going to move theirs, in which case, then, yes, New Hampshire would move theirs earlier, if that's true. But the thing is, the Democrats aren't going to count it, so it won't matter. New Hampshire will have the first-in-the-nation primary. It's just the Democrats are now just going to look the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to pay any attention to it.
A bunch of useless gyrating. I mean, really, like, could you put, like, more effort into something with less output? Is that possible?
Well, these are politicians, you know. To them, this is all...
This is how they fight white supremacy.
Yeah, no, that's not...
Yeah.
So important.
This is all about race. That's what this all boils down to, is, well, there's more black people and more Hispanics in South Carolina... And so the idea is that, well, that's more representative of the whole of the United States, even though obviously South Carolinians have nothing whatsoever to do with Californians and nothing whatsoever to do with,
right,
you know, people in Oregon or whatever. But regardless, that's the excuse that the Democratic National Committee is using here. There's more diversity, so therefore we want them to pick the first Democratic winner. And also what it comes down to is Biden did not do well in New Hampshire when he ran in New Hampshire.
Shocking.
I'm surprised he did well anywhere.
And so they don't want a repeat.
Well, I mean, he kind of didn't, actually. Like, he was eliminated immediately, but then everyone dropped out of the race at the same time.
I mean, he just seems like a type of person as a human being that isn't well.
He is definitely not well.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of shenanigans to get him the nomination. He, like, this was not the people's choice.
Who the hell decided that a popularity contest was a way to, you know, organize and run society? Like,
well,
what a stupid concept.
How else are we going to pick the top murderer?
Like, would you have whoever wins American Idol be president?
Well, my theory is...
They actually run a cleaner election and have a better voting system than the U.S. government does.
I think the people that decided that this was the right system were the pirates. Because on a pirate ship, you would have democracy, because this way you avoid a coup, or in their case, a mutiny.
I think somebody conned a bunch of low IQ'd people by going, okay, look, I realize that you know, just having me rule over everybody isn't fair. So what we'll do, you see, is we'll have this contest, and it'll be a popularity contest, so whoever's the most popular will win and get to be your master.
Well, if it was just a popularity contest, they would have let women vote from the beginning.
Hmm.
It's more than just a popularity contest. It's they wanted to get a basic gauge of, hey, if we were to have a civil war, who would win? So that's why it was men of fighting age with enough resources to have land. So that you had sort of a gauge of, okay, how many fighting men that can actually afford a rifle are we talking here?
Well, yeah, taking a gauge of who might be willing to participate in some sort of an insurrection is a far cry from, let's have a popularity contest to see who's the master of all, of the largest empire the world has ever seen.
Is it?
Yes, I believe it is. I believe those things are far apart from each other.
I mean, not really. Like, if you have a...
not far apart from each other?
I mean, there's a few steps for sure, but they are really... They're more similar than they are different. Because if you are more popular, and that's one of the strange things about Trump that really riles up the establishment, is that who he caters to are the fightiest people in America. You know, the tough guys, the construction workers, the miners, you know, the truckers, the people who are the most likely to actually stand their ground against a tyrannical government were the ones who he was courting the vote for. That's one of the things that upset them so much, is that it was moving back in the direction of, like, hey, if we were to have a civil war, who would win? And let's check that so that we don't have to have a civil war. But it's really not that different from a popularity contest, because if you have the support of, I mean, it's a little different now that we're, it's a little different when you're close to 50-50. But when you have an overwhelming popular, like if you are overwhelmingly more popular than the other guy, then you will definitely win a civil war.
Well, there's no question that it is a popularity contest, albeit one with several stages of chicanery in between people actually deciding who they, you know, think is the most popular or the right person. You know, there's all sorts of chicanery involved in the steps leading up to the election. But the system is corrupt in the fact that it doesn't allow for you to rule yourself.
Well, yeah, I'm not suggesting otherwise. Now, as far as the chicanery goes, I think that's why they're not so very concerned about, I think the article was talking about our key northeastern vote. Like, I don't think they're all that concerned about it because they'll just cheat.
Like, what do you mean?
I mean that the Democratic Party has proven that they are more effective as cheaters than the Republican Party.
I don't know. Look at what happened to Ron Paul. I mean, he got cheated big time.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, the cheating's going to go on. That's just politics, that they're scum of the earth. But some of those scumbags had something to say about this. Joanne Dowdle, who is a New Hampshire committee member on the DNC's bylaws panel.
Joanne Dodo?
Dowdle.
Oh, sorry.
She said, "We're frustrated because as many times as we say it, no one seems to listen when we say that this will only hurt President Biden in our purple battleground state," she said. They gave.
I'm sorry, what? I wasn't listening.
She claims it's going to only hurt.
She said, "I say it over and over again."
President Biden. Yeah. Well, what she means is the vote that was taken on the bylaws committee. New Hampshire and Iowa were the only two no votes. So everyone else voted yes. We want to demote Iowa. Yes, we want to demote New Hampshire. And she's saying she didn't feel like she was listened to, and that's because the fix is in. This is a done deal. This is happening, and now it's official at the DNC level. But it's not going to. I don't even think Biden's going to be on the ballot. That's the way it sounds to me here in New Hampshire, is they're just not going to run him here.
I know this is no one thinks this will happen except for me, but I still think it's going to be Kamala. I think that something is going to happen.
Oh, he's not
going to
run.
Yeah, I think that something is going to happen.
With his health.
With his health, most likely. But he's going to have to step down as president. We'll get approximately 2 years of Kamala. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, she will have looked good enough that they will run her. That's still what I think is going to happen, because what else is going to – who else do they have?
He's going to be old.
They don't want to run him again. Mm-hmm. Like, if you see how they respond when he is saying, yeah, I'm definitely going to run again, they are not going to let him run.
Do you think this whole, like, let's search his house for documents kind of thing is a factor there?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And that's why they had the timing of it. Like, they knew about this thing for quite a while, but they waited until the midterm elections were over, and it's like, okay – now it's time to turn our backs on Biden so that we can get to the next thing, because we're done with what his job was. His job was to reunify us as the Democratic blue no matter who people. Okay, job accomplished. Now we need to move on to the next thing, so let's go ahead and tear him down.
The DNC is insisting that New Hampshire, in order to keep its early voting slot in the new calendar, needs to scrap a decades-old state law that protects its first-in-the-nation primary status and must expand legislation to expand access to early voting.
Good luck.
But with Republicans in control of New Hampshire's governor's office and both houses of the state legislature, the Democrats argue that that's a non-starter. So, yeah, they're... They're not going to go
along
with
it. I also argue that.
Yeah.
For exactly that reason.
Feeding the machine of your own oppression. Yes, everybody, cast your vote for the machine that oppresses you.
The Rules and Bylaws Committee last week extended until June the deadline for New Hampshire and Georgia, which also has a GOP-controlled governor's office and state legislature, to come in compliance with the DNC's new calendar, which is not going to happen. Sununu, who is the governor of New Hampshire, and state Republicans have repeatedly slammed Biden and the DNC. Sununu has reiterated that, quote, we're going first, no matter what. So, I mean, this is moving forward. It's going to be really interesting to watch.
If we have to, my God.
It's going to be really interesting to watch to see how this plays out, because I think, Pekles, your prediction here is going to prove to be correct. Basically, any serious candidates for the Democratic Party, which you know the only serious one's going to be Biden or Kamala Harris, if that's how it ends up shaking out. And that was true with the Republicans, too.
Not writing off the possibility that someone else is going to come out of the woodwork, but I haven't seen it yet.
It doesn't happen that way. Yeah. I mean, look at what happened with the Republicans in 2020. Trump was going to run again, and the only person to challenge him was Bill Weld. He was the only one, and he had zero chance. He got near to zero votes, and it was just a complete throwaway because the Democrats are even more centrally controlled.
The illusion of choice.
Indeed. The Democrats are even more centrally controlled, more so than even the Republicans. I mean, they're all bad. Mm-hmm. The Democrats are even worse at this. You cannot step out from the shadows in the Democratic Party and just become this dark horse candidate that's going to run against the president and have a chance. You're going to be shut down, kind of like in the same way they shut down Ron Paul at a lot of those Democratic or those Republican committee meetings or whatever. They're going to do the same thing here if these people even try to step forward.
Well, since age is obviously no longer a factor, how about Pelosi? She's prominent enough.
Yeah, but she's if you're reaching that far down into the grab bag, how about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez?
But these are all part of the
legally run.
Really?
Too young.
These are all part of the system. All of these people you're talking about, they don't want to rock the boat. They want to have their time when it's their time.
They want to be ruler. They want to be king.
That by stepping forward to take on the current king, which is Joe Biden and or Kamala Harris. So you're just not going to see them. So I think what you may end up seeing is all of the unusual candidates running in New Hampshire, and Vermin Supreme has a real chance of actually winning the Democratic primary in New Hampshire. We're coming up.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks, so it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.